Tonight's Shalant and Kugel is dedicated by Rachmiel Bratz, Ilan Nishmas, his brother Shmuel Meir, Ben Michal Yechiel Halevi, Nisham Shav and Aliyah, and by Hashi Kalis, Ilan Nishmas, Chaya Bas Yisrael Tzvi, Lefo Noach Yosef Ben David, Musha Ben Zayv Halevi, Nisham Shav and Aliyah.
Amen.
Koyach.
Okay, Pashas Chayesor, Vayiyu Chayesoro, Meyoshono, Vyesmashon, Vyeshevashon, and Mishnei Chayesoro. Soro lived 127 years, and everyone knows the Rashi. Rashi tells us, Shnei Chayesoro, Kulon Shoven Lotayro. All her years were equal in goodness, they were all good years. And of course the question is obvious, were they all good years? If you look through Soro's life, we look at all the troubles that Soro had. She was 90, until 90 years old she was an Akara. She had no children. She had Sarah till 90 years old. Haroi took her away. Avimelech took her away. She had Tzoros of Hagar. Were you small? She had a life. She had a life of Tzoros. And yet Rashi tells us, Kulon Shoven L'Tayvam, all her years were good. And of course, there are many answers that are given, but one common theme running through Mefarshim is the idea of Gamzul L'Tayvam. And Tzoros was Makabel. Tzoros was Makabel. Whatever happened, Gamzul L'Tayvam, she was Makabel with at the heart. They were all Shoven L'Tayvam. Even though she might not have understood why each event happened as it did. The Pesach Zilberstein brings down a very nice story. It says, in Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, there were two elderly Russian ladies who were the cooks. I don't know what year this story takes place. And they came over from Russia later on in life, and they were cooks. They were working in the kitchen in Mir Yerushalayim. And both of them had previously been cooks for the Russian army. They had cooked for the Russian army back in Russia, and they were zeichet to come to Eretz Yisrael, and now they were cooking in Mir Yerushalayim.
My father was a cook in the Russian army.
And the two ladies worked, and one was quite bitter about her lot in life, and one had a totally different attitude. One, as she was working, would complain, oh, it's so much work and so little pay. So much work to do and so little pay. And she would constantly complain about her work. And the other one's attitude was, Baruch Hashem, that now I'm zeichet to come up to Eretz Yisrael. In the past, in Russia, I had to cook for Goyim. I sat and I peeled potatoes, and I cooked, and I slaved, I worked hard for the Goyim. And now I have a schus, I'm zeichet, that I'm able to cook and peel potatoes and prepare food for all the Talmidei Chachamim that learn here in Yeshiva.
Right.
And she said, if I had the ability, I would work here for free. I would such a schus to cook for Talmidei Chachamim and to feed them, to help them learn, I would do it for free if I was able to. I'm not in that situation right now. I need a job. But if I had the ability to, I would do it for free. So you have two ladies working at the same job. They both had the same responsibilities. They both worked the same hours.
Different attitudes.
Worlds apart. The one who complained, all she ends up with at the end of the day are her complaints. Ayam Haza, Ayam Haba, all she has that accompanying her complaints. And the one who said, Baruch Hashem, she's zeichet to cook for Talmidei Chachamim, not only she's zeichet to simcha, to a happy attitude in this world, a life of simcha, but she's zeichet to tremendous schar in Ayam Haba. Imagine how much schar she'll have, because every day she cooked to make sure Talmidei Chachamim had what to eat. Kulon shavim l'tayva. It all depends on a person's attitude, what their attitude is. You can have two people in the same situation. It all depends how they look at it. We mentioned the Chizkuni in the past. The Chizkuni brings down the word Vayiyu. Vayiyu Chayisa Vayiyu spelled Vav Yud He Yud Vav. It's read, sorry. Chizkuni brings down Vayiyu. The Gematria is 37. Vav Yud He Yud Vav is 37. Vav is 6. Yud is 10 is 16. He is 5 is 21. 21 and Yud 10 is 31. And 6 is 37. Vav is 37. Sarah lived 37 of the 127 years. Because she had Yitzchak when she was 90. So she had 37 years of being a mother to Yitzchak. By you, so her life, her simcha was 37 years from the time she had Yitzchak. I don't remember who brings down. Meir brings down. The word Vayiyu is spelled backwards and forwards the same. Vav Yud He Yud Vav. Vayi was spelled Vav Yud He Yud Vav, backwards and forwards. It's read Vayi. Teach us that the sorrow is all the same. But in life, she was going forwards. In life, she was going backwards, so to speak. Things worked out. Things didn't work out. Whatever the situation was, Vayil, it was all the same. Kul and Shavnu Ataiva, all her years were equal in goodness. It's a lesson for all of us. The attitude that a person has affects him in this world and the next world. Vatomos Soro Bekiryas Abba, he Chevron Beretz Kenan. Soro died in Chevron Kiryas Abba, Eretz Kenan, by Yovay Avrohom, was spoiled with Soro Vulf Kaisa, Pasik Beis, Avrom came to say a Hespid, for Soro Vulf Kaisa and to cry for her. And it's well known the Balaturim, the word Vulf Kaisa is spelled with a small kaf. If you look at the Sefer Torah, the Chumash, the word Vulf Kaisa and to cry for her, the kaf is smaller than the rest of the words. Wow. Says the Balaturim, why is the kaf smaller? Says the Balaturim, kaf katana, the kaf is small, shulay bacha elamat. Because Avram only cried a little bit. He didn't cry a lot. He cried a little. So therefore, the word kaf in the crying is small. Lefisha zikna ha'isa. Because she was an elderly lady. And, therefore he cried only a little bit. Okay? First of all, discuss this idea. Avram cried a little. Sarah wasn't deserving of a big cry.
A good cry.
Sarah was a tzaddikus. Avram. And many bring down the idea that Avram specifically held himself back. And Avram cried a little bit, because after all, Rashi tells us, how is Sarah Niftar? How is she Niftaris? What happened? The Satan came to her, and the Satan decided to tell her about the Akedah, and when she heard that Yitzchak was almost shechted, we don't know what happened. Parcha Neshmasa, Hanashama left her. The Satan many times tries to stop a person before they do a mitzvah. Like the Medrash brings down, when Avram was on the way to the Akedah, the Satan came and put a river in front of Avram. The Satan came like an old man and tried to talk Avram out of it. The different tactics the Satan used to try to stop Avram. And Avram conquered the Satan. If the Satan can't win and can't stop a person before doing the mitzvah, the Satan sometimes comes and tries to cause you to have charata after you did the mitzvah. You should be toyah or shaynus. You should have charata on what you did, on what you did earlier. If you have charata, you sort of negate the mitzvah. You mavatal the mitzvah.
This is his last chance.
So the Sultan came and said, look, he made as if Sarah died because of the Akedah. And many explain that it happened that way because the Sultan wanted Avram to be toyah, to have charata. Had I known that Sarah would cause Sarah's Misa, I never would have done the Akedah, and he has charata on the entire story, the entire Akedah. So Avram Dafa cried a little. He wanted to show the world that he has no charata whatsoever for the Akedah. He didn't overdo the emotions, the crying, to show that he has no charata at all. No one should think that Avram is being chayzer on the Nisayan, on the Akedah that he did. And as far as how it happened that Sarah died in such a manner due to the Akedah, we mentioned what the Chaim and the disciple had said over, that Shulchei Mitzvah ain't in Nizakim. We know there's a klal, Shulchei Mitzvah are not damaged. And the Chaim Kinyansky means down the Medrash, and Resh means down a story that the Anshei Alexandria, people in Alexandria, they lit in their Chanukah, and that year Alexander the Great, his daughter had died, and he thought that they were lighting candles to celebrate the death of his daughter. And he got very angry, upset, and he went and he killed out the people in Alexandria. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky, how could it be? Shulchei Mitzvah in Nizaykin. Here they went ahead, and they did a mitzvah of lighting their Chanukah, and that caused them Yisa. Says the Pshat, it's just the opposite. They weren't killed because they did the mitzvah. Fakert. It was their time to die. Whatever the reason was their time to die. They had Chusim, so Kadosh Baruch Hu arranged that they would die in Mitaych the Bar Mitzvah. They would die while doing a mitzvah. So this way, this Chusim would be so much greater, they died Mikaych while they were doing a mitzvah. And that's why it came about through
what was the mitzvah?
Lighting their Chanukah. It wasn't their Chanukah that caused them to die, but rather it was their time to die, so Kadosh Baruch Hu arranged that they would die Mitaych the Bar Mitzvah. Tremendous difference whether a person dies while doing a mitzvah or not. Mitaych the Bar Mitzvah. So too by Sarah, she also sort of died Mitaych the Bar Mitzvah, hearing about the Akedah. The mitzvah, in a sense, caused it. Not that the mitzvah caused it, but it was her time to die as of then. And then she died mitaych tiva mitzvah from the mitzvah of the, well, hang about the mitzvah of the Akedah. We said over the story with the stipple, we'll say it over again, and then I'll get another story on. the stipula, somebody once came to him, when the story happened, it was going around, like, it was spreading around, and then, you know, like every story, it stops. So, we'll say it over again anyway. Probably remember the story. Somebody went in to see the stipula, and the stipula looked at him, for bracha, and the stipula looked at him and said, Rosha Marusha. Called him a Rosha. The other people there, they all heard, called him a Rosha. The man became terribly embarrassed. Imagine, you're going into a stipula. The stipula calls him a Rosha. He became terribly embarrassed. He didn't know what he did, what happened, and he left. A few hours later, the people that were there came back to the stipula, and they said to the stipula, Mechilas Kavoydai, we think that the stipula made a mistake. Because this person that he called a Rosha Marusha was just in a car accident with a few other people in the car. And everybody else in the car, Leilenu, was in oil mess, they passed away. And he's the only one who survived. And this person that you called the Rosh Marusha was the only one to survive. So they said to the stipula, you see, he's a tzaddik. He had such schusim, he was able to survive the car accident. How'd you call him a Rosh Marusha? So the stipula said, oh, he don't understand. He says, you're looking at things totally backwards, he said. He said, when that person came to see me, I saw the Malach HaMavis standing right next to him.
Oh, no.
I saw the Malach HaMavis standing right there. I saw the Malach HaMavis right there. And how could I save his life? How could I have I didn't know how to send the Malach HaMavis away. Chazal tells us, we had the Gemara yesterday, whoever shames his friend, it's as if he killed him. Because, like Tyson explains, the blood rushes away from his face. It's as if he took away his blood, his face turns white. It's like Ritzicha. It's like he killed him.
Wow.
So I embarrassed him. In order for that to be the Ritzicha, the Malach HaMavis then had no power over him because I just did the job. I killed him, so to speak. I embarrassed him. The Malach HaMavis left him alone. And that's why he was saved. He was saved because the Malach HaMavis did his Ritzicha earlier when he was embarrassed. Had I not embarrassed him, then the Malach HaMavis still would have been together with him. All depends how you look at the story. You see one thing and we see it one way. Nobody in his wildest dreams would have dreamt that that's behind the scenes. So, I'm not answering it. Yeah, cool. Mistamim saved somebody's life. That's not an Avera. That's probably a mitzvah, saving his life.
But we'll learn today tomorrow.
So, yeah.
Today tomorrow says, are you allowed to embarrass somebody?
Yeah.
He wants to be boiled in Asia, suffocation.
Okay, that's something else. But this is a story. On the way here tonight, I had intentions to be here earlier, and like all good intentions, the Yitzhahara somehow always has his kayach, and I was running late, so I was in the car, and the radio was on 95.1, the Jewish station. Radio was on. The official shechter was speaking, and he said over a Meridik Maisa. So, Mustama, you heard the story, or you heard the story of somebody else, but I think it fits in very well. He said of a story with the Belzerov. Somebody came to him. The Russian army at that time was drafting and conscripting in all the Jewish young men that were eligible to serve in the army. And it was a bacha who was a yosun, who was about to be married, and he came to the Belzerov for a bracha that he should be exempt from the army. They shouldn't take him in. And he's waiting outside. The lines were very big to go in. People were coming from all over for brachas. And Otto, it's mamish his turn. The bells are red. Looks at him and says to the gabbai, I'm sorry, no more. I'm tired. I have to go to sleep. I'm too tired right now. I'm not seeing anybody else. And the bracha is saying, please, I need a bracha. I came all the way. I can't. Please help me. I'm too tired. I have to go to sleep right now. Don't bother me. Dismissed. Go home. The bracha's like, totally it's a bracha. He came all the way, and the Belzer Rebbe doesn't even want to see him. He has no choice. He left. The next day, he has to show up for the interview to decide whether he's eligible for the army.
Selective service.
He's waiting on line, and Mamish, it turns out, he's the last one on line. And just as it comes his turn, he hears the general who's assigning who goes into the army, who doesn't say, I'm too tired, I need to go home. And the guard says to him, but there's one more person waiting outside. He says, I told you, I'm too tired. I need to go home. Tell that person to go home, dismissed. I don't want to see him again. He's dismissed.
Very good.
and the Bacha realized it was a play for play. The same words the Rebbe told him last night, they told him yesterday, he heard over.
Okay, Rebbe's story, Ruach HaKodesh. But bottom line is, again, things happen and you think it's the end of the world. Something happens, we don't understand it. And just the opposite. Sometimes we think it's the end of the world and it turns out to be the Yeshua. It all depends. It all depends how a person looks at it. Vayishma Avrohom El Ephraim. Perichofkim will posuk the Zayin. Avrohom listens to Ephraim and he pays the Ephraim. Arba meyos shekel kesef oivel asaycha. 400 shalom, 400 coins. Okay. This is also a famous, famous story. Said over, Ephraim seems to be very, very contradictory. First he says, "Hasade, the satiloch, no problem. The field, I'll give it to you. I'm a Russia boy. The field, the cave, it's yours. Just bury a mace." He's generous. Avram, for you, I'll do anything. Then suddenly, a few psukim later, Avram offers him. Avram says to him, Achamata Lushmeni, if you listen, Nasati Kesef Hasada, take a little money from me. Once Ephraim has money, oh, suddenly, full price! No discounts, full price, Abra Meir Shekel Kesef, 400. What happened? Ephraim is ready to give it away for free, he's very generous, and suddenly he hears an offer of money right away, his offer of generosity is forgotten, not even a discount, he charges full price, or maybe even more, Abra Meir Shekel Kesef, Oivel Asaycha. So they say, Dalta from Kelim explains it with the famous story that happened, either with the Rambam or Bnei Yisrael. I've stiffened gears as who the story happened with. Famous story. The Rambam and the philosophers of his time had an argument if it's possible to train a balchai, an animal, to act like a human, to do human activities. Can you train an animal to be like a human? And the Rambam said, no matter how hard you're going to train an animal stays an animal. No matter how hard, it's still going to be an animal. Chai is a chai, behemoth is a behemoth. And the philosophers know it's possible. And to prove the Rambam wrong, they went ahead and they trained the cat to be a waiter. They trained the cat to carry food. And they made a big party, and of course the Rambam had to attend, and they showed the Rambam, look, you said we can't train an animal to act like a human being. Look, the cat walks in on two legs, carrying a tray, and he's serving the food. The Rambam was prepared. Takes out a little box from his pocket with a mouse inside, opens up the box, and lets the mouse loose in front of the cat. As soon as the cat sees the mouse, phew, drops the plate on the floor, cat's back on all fours, running after the mouse. A cat's a cat. You can't change the temper of the cat. This is the Alta Mikelim. Ephraim can't change his nature either. Ephraim, he was after the money. Ephraim wasn't, but he came. It was embarrassing. Avram came. Ramavin is in front of all the Bnei Ches. How could he not offer to have Ram for free? Imagine the president came, but somebody Choshev comes and he couldn't ask for money. Ephraim changes nature, so to speak, and he starts acting like, oh, for free, of course. Suddenly he hears the coins jingling. Avram mentions the word Kesef. Everything drops to the floor. Ephraim is back to the way he was before, and he's running after the money, and he charges Abba Meir to shekel Kesef. Says Alta from Kellen, you think it's easy to change a midah, you think it's easy to change one of your characteristics or taiva that you have. It's very, very difficult. And don't think that a person changed. You have to work very, very hard to change your midahs. Because until a person really works hard and knows what he's changing, it's still there. And as soon as the temptation arises, he's back on all fours and the way he was before. The person has to know exactly what he's working on and be aware. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says later on, Avraham Zokein Baba Yomim. Avraham was old Baba Yomim, came with his days. The Pasuk is Perik Chaf Gimel, Perik Chaf Dal, Pasuk Aleph. Avraham Zokein Baba Yomim, Vashem Berech as Avraham Bakoil. What does it mean he was Baba Yomim? So the Medrash brings down, there are those people that are old without their days, and there are also those people that have the Yomim, but they're not old. Avram was both. He was Zokain and Baba Yomim. Old, and he came with his days. That means that all his days were used properly. He could account for all of his days. He could show how all of his days were used properly in Avodas Hashem to do mitzvahs to serve Hashem. Avram was a Zokain. He was old, and he could account for all his days. Like many stories are told over, the Chofetz Chaim would make a cheshbon nefesh, he would account for all the hours of the day. Avram was able to account. And they tell over the famous story that whoever was traveling, and he comes into Lemberg city, and He's very interested in seeing the Beis HaKvaros to see which Gedolim are buried in Lemberg, who's buried. And he walks into the cemetery and he looks at the first Matzeva. The first Matzeva says, so-and-so, he lived 20 years and 5 days. Okay. He looks at the next Matzeva. This person lived 15 years and 6 months. Next Matzeva, this person lived 10 years and 5 months. Every Matzeva is looking and says, what's been a Magefa? Everyone's dying young. 20 years, 15, 10. Yeah. Next Matzeva, 25 years. He can't understand what happened. So he asks, and the Chevra Kedisha tells him, no. All these people live to a ripe old age. But here, we write down the Matzeva, the years they really lived. The years that they used to serve Hashem. The time they used for the Torah, for the mitzvahs, to serve Hashem. And this person, over his whole lifetime, he could only account for 15 years and 5 months. And this person could account for 20 years. And that's the time that we wrote down on the Matzeva. Avram was a Zokain, Baba Yonim. He was both. He was Zokain and he used his days wisely. And every day counts. And the Medrash brings down the beginning of the parasha. The Bekiva was once teaching his Talmidim, and he saw they were tired, they were nodding off. They were dozing off. Never happens. But he saw that they were...
Never happens here.
They were nodding off. So he told them, the Medrash brings down that Esther ruled over 127 provinces, countries. She was the queen of Achashverosh. The schos that Sarah lived 127 years. What says the Medrash? The schos 127 years that Sarah lived, Esther ruled over 127 countries. And everybody asks, what's the connection between Sarah's 127 years and Esther's 127 provinces? And everybody says the same, come out the same word. The idea being that every year Sarah lived was accounted for. Every year she served Hashem, every day counted. And the schus, every day, every hour that Sarah served Hashem, her descendants were rewarded, and Esther was zeicha to rule over another town, another country. Each hour is another town, each day another city, each year another country. It ended up to 127. If Sarah would have been a little bit sleeping on the job, and she wouldn't have served Hashem for the full 127 years, Esther would have ended up with less. So Bekiva was telling his Talmidim, look how every second counts. The schus Sarah lived a full 127 years. Esther, many, many years later, was zeicha to 127 provinces. Person that still lives life to the fullest, the best that he can. Person, later on, it comes back. All that a person did. Just want to end off with the famous word from the Rishus Levi, which we said over many times, but always, people always ask this question throughout the year. In one form or another. Famous question. The Pasuk tells us in Perik, Chavdalet Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayarot ha'eved ukraso. The eved ran towards Rivka. Give me to drink a little bit from your barrel. Rashi tells us, why did Eliezer run to Rivka? What made him run? Says Rashi, Pasuk Yitzayin, because he saw the water in the well, rose up, went up towards her. He said she must be a tzadikas, so he ran towards Rivka. The Ramban brings down that Dafka, now the water rose for Rivka. But afterwards, when Eliezer said to her, to give the camels to drink. It tells us in Pasuk Chof, Vatamaher, Rivka hurried, Vatahar Kadol, she lowered the barrel into the well, Vatorot Zoid, she poured the barrel, Vatorot Zoid, Vatishav, and she drew the water for his camels. There says the Ramban, it says a Roshim Vatishav, she drew. It doesn't say just she filled it up. Earlier it says Vatamalechad, she filled up her barrel and she took it up. Here it says Vatishav. Says the Ramban, here the water did not go up to greet her. The water did not rise up. But when she came to draw the water for the camels, she had to bend down, lower the pail all the way down, put a lot of kaiches, and bring the pail up. Only the first time she did the water rise. So says the Ramban, it's Beduik in the Psukim, it doesn't say Vatishav the first time, it says Vatishav the second time. Says the Kedushas Levi, the Vatishav says, why is that? Why, Taki, is it that only the first time the water rolls, not the second time? And he says, because the first time when Rivka went to the well, who was she drawing the water for?
No, for herself.
She went originally, when everybody went to draw the water. She went to draw the water, she went to fill the pail with water for herself. Eliezer sees a nace, the water rises. Oh, must be tzadikas. Hashem didn't want a tzadikas to be matriach herself, to have to go through such tircha, so Hashem caused the water to rise. The second time Rivka went to the well, Who was she filling up the water for?
Eved.
For the Gemalim. She was doing a chesed for Eliezer. Comes to doing a chesed. Hashem said to a chesed for a carrot. A chesed sometimes comes a little harder. Work for the chesed. I want you to do a complete chesed from beginning till end and put all your kaiches into it. A chesed doesn't mean that it has to be easy. Chesed means that a person wants to do the chesed from A to Z, from beginning until the end. Therefore, the water did not rise, and Rivka had to go ahead and do the whole chesed from beginning to end. Lufum tzara adra. The schar is related to the tzara that a person puts into doing the mitzvah. So many times during the year, people ask, I was on the way to do a mitzvah, do a chesed, and this happened, and that happened. Why is it so difficult for when I come to do a chesed? I'm coming to shul. Why does this have to happen and that? Just the opposite. When you're on the way to do a mitzvah, the way to do a chesed, Hashem says, you know what? Now you're coming to do a mitzvah. It's yours from beginning until end. And that sometimes comes with the little bit of bumps in the road, the difficulties. Not every mitzvah chesed comes 100% smooth. When it comes to doing a chesed, a lot of times it requires a little more kaiches, a little more effort. Don't give up. It's a little difficult to keep on going. And if the schar that a person has is so much greater. Pishtaka will be zaycha, that we should be able to live our lives to the fullest, have a full life, be able to do chasodim for others. Pishtaka will be zaycha. Simi shichitim here remain. Amen.